The Louvre's marble floors are stained with blood, and the dying curator has arranged his body into a cryptic message. When Harvard symbolist Robert Langdon arrives at this crime scene in the dead of night, he has no idea he's about to become a fugitive, or that the symbols scrawled in blood will challenge everything he thought he knew about Christianity. This is how Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code begins, with a murder that launches readers into a conspiracy spanning 2,000 years. The novel sold over 80 million copies, sparked global controversy, and got banned in several countries. Why? Because it dared to ask, what if the greatest story ever told wasn't quite the way we've been told it? Jacques Saunière, the Louvre's elderly curator, uses his final moments to create an elaborate riddle. Shot by an albino monk named Silas, he strips naked, positions himself like Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, draws a pentacle on his chest with his own blood, and scribbles cryptic messages visible only under UV light. Sophie Naveau, a police cryptologist, secretly warns Langdon that Captain Foch considers him the prime suspect. She reveals something more startling. Saunière was her estranged grandfather, and his dying message was meant for her. The phrases, "O draconian devil," "O lame saint," are anagrams pointing to Leonardo da Vinci and the Mona Lisa. Behind that famous painting, they discover a key bearing the fleur-de-lis symbol, the first piece in an ancient puzzle. A breathless chase through Paris follows as two fugitives decode symbols most people walk past without truly seeing. Brown transforms the Louvre from a quiet museum into a labyrinth of secrets, where every painting potentially hides a truth that powerful forces have killed to protect. As Langdon and Sophie flee through Paris, he reveals a shocking theory. The Holy Grail isn't a cup, it's Mary Magdalene herself, specifically her womb, which carried Jesus' child. According to this interpretation, Mary wasn't the reformed prostitute of church tradition, but Jesus' wife and the mother of a royal bloodline surviving to this day. The early church, seeking to consolidate male power, systematically erased the sacred feminine from Christianity. Goddess worship was suppressed, Mary Magdalene's importance diminished, and women marginalized. Even the pentacle, once a symbol of Venus and feminine perfection, was recast as satanic. Brown weaves real historical elements, the Gnostic Gospels, Emperor Constantine's Council of Nicaea in 325 CE, the suppression of competing Christian texts, into his fictional conspiracy. He points to Leonardo's The Last Supper, where there's no central chalice, and the figure beside Jesus looks distinctly feminine. Could that be Mary Magdalene rather than the Apostle John? The power lies not in historical accuracy, but in challenging readers to question inherited narratives. When institutions claim absolute authority over truth, who decides what gets remembered and what gets forgotten? At Sir Lee Teabing's estate, Langdon and Sophie discover the Priory of Sion, a secret society founded in 1099 to protect the truth about Mary Magdalene and documents proving Jesus' bloodline. The priory created the Knights Templar to retrieve these documents from beneath Solomon's temple. The Templars became extraordinarily wealthy and powerful until Pope Clement IV and King Philippe IV moved against them. On Friday, October 13th, 1307, origin of the Friday the 13th superstition, knights were arrested across Europe, tortured, and executed, but the priory had already hidden their documents. Throughout history, grandmasters including Leonardo da Vinci, Isaac Newton, and Victor Hugo embedded clues in their work. Leonardo's Last Supper shows a V-shape between Jesus and Mary Magdalene forming the chalice symbol, while notably lacking an actual cup. Brown's genius connects historical curiosities, the Templars' mysterious wealth, Leonardo's unconventional religious art, suppressed goddess worship, into a coherent alternative narrative that feels almost plausible. Hidden within Saunière's clues is a cryptex, a cylindrical device allegedly invented by Leonardo, with interlocking discs that must spell a password before opening. Inside sits a papyrus message, but forcing it breaks a vinegar vial that dissolves the document. This Renaissance-era security system embodies the novel's central metaphor. Truth must be earned through intelligence, not seized through force. Sophie remembers her grandfather making smaller versions as birthday presents, creating elaborate treasure hunts that taught her symbolic thinking. As the trio deciphers passwords using ancient ciphers like @bash, they discover nested puzzles, a smaller cryptex inside the first. The hunt takes them from Paris to London, through Temple Church to Westminster Abbey, where Isaac Newton's elaborate tomb holds the final clue. Each location peels back another layer, revealing connections between art, religion, and history spanning millennia. They're pursued by Captain Fatch, the zealous monk Silas, and shadowy forces infiltrating both law enforcement and religious institutions. These ancient cities, with their Gothic cathedrals, hidden passages, and forgotten crypts, become characters themselves, representing the weight of history and the long shadow religious conflicts cast across centuries. Sir Lee Teabing is revealed as the teacher, the mastermind behind everything. At Westminster Abbey, he holds Langdon and Sophie at gunpoint, demanding they solve the final puzzle. His motivation isn't greed, but ideology, exposing Christianity's origins and ending the church's millennia-long deception. He genuinely believes revealing the truth will liberate humanity. Langdon outsmarts him by solving the final password, Apple, referring to Newton's inspiration, and removing the papyrus before tossing the empty cryptex. At Rosslyn Chapel in Scotland, Sophie meets her grandmother, Marie, long believed dead. The stunning truth emerges. Sophie descends directly from Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene. Her parents were from the Plantard and St. Clair families, the last Merovingian bloodline branches protected by the priory. After their suspicious car accident, the priory separated the family for protection. The strange ritual Sophie witnessed as a teenager was actually a sacred ceremony honoring divine masculine and feminine energies. The Holy Grail isn't merely abstract history. It's embodied in a living person, giving profound emotional weight to an intellectual mystery. Langdon returns to Paris and realizes the Grail's true location. Following the Rose Line to the Louvre, he recognizes the glass pyramid and its inverted counterpart as symbols of masculine and feminine principles united. Mary Magdalene's remains rest beneath the inverted pyramid, where these ancient symbols intersect. The novel ends with Langdon kneeling in reverence, answers hiding beneath one of the world's most visited museums. The Iampei pyramid becomes a modern expression of ancient symbolism. The ending refuses to definitively answer whether the Grail's secret should be revealed, inviting continued conversation. Brown's legacy lies in reawakening interest in symbolism and religious history. He encouraged millions to examine art closely, question official narratives, and consider alternative perspectives. The conspiracy's reality matters less than the questions it raises. Who controls our understanding of history? How do symbols preserve truths that direct communication cannot? What happens when faith confronts challenging facts? Perhaps the real treasure isn't finding the Grail, but learning to see symbols around us, to question, to wonder, to recognize that truth often hides in plain sight, waiting for those brave enough to truly look.